This is a production of Cornell University.
February 26, 2009, student assembly meeting.
If there were excess essay members, we staffed them as undergraduates. And then we went through, the staffing committee went through applications, and we looked thoroughly at the applications that you filled both online and the one that was submitted to us by candidates in the fall election, and we made our choices from there. Would you like me to elaborate more?
So the people making the choices based on the applications are you and the chair?
The chair of the committee, and then we had input from other chairs of the committee as well and other SA members.
I'm going to move on to the second speaker's list unless anyone wants to speak for the first time. Representative Yao.
Well, I'm just a point of contact. Just a point of passion, the service selection of voting members of NSA.
Yeah, I can just shout out.
Okay.
Yeah, in service selection of NSA members in this committee, we speak to some variety, like so that the largest constituency will be represented.
There, I'll say that it was that there were members of. Oh, geez, we have mercy. We good?
He finished.
Sure. The way that we chose it in its second round of internals, there were members on the appropriation committees that represented large constituencies and small constituencies. That wasn't taken into account. I guess, you weren't there at the second round of internals. Ryan can elaborate more on how he chaired that session. And then from the application, the committee pool of applications, online and forms, we looked at other past experience. They had past involvement in the House of Student Assembly. I will say that we tried to choose members who had taken an active interest in the assembly, and we didn't really regard what constituency they were from. It was more based on their activity and involvement with the assembly system.
Representative Craig?
So the reason why I asked for some information before was just trying to get the information that we need from the SA members. The main thing that you keep on saying is streamlining the process, and I understand all that. But we're talking about, getting about at least half the incoming members or nearly half the incoming members who serve on the committee that we need to be meeting sometimes weekly or more times throughout the bimonthly cycle. And so I'm really wondering, how much streamlining are we talking about? We're taking away time that we could be spending on other committees or other things of that nature. And so, we're talking about saving time here, but really it's taking time in other areas. Is that right?
No, I would tend to disagree. I think that assembly members are elected to do their job and should be aware of the time commitment when they sign up for things. And I think if someone wanted to be one of those 10 members, they should be fully aware of that time commitment and what it would entail. And if they're not comfortable with that time commitment, then they'll make that commitment.
I understand that if you sign up for something, you should be ready to say. I'm just saying that some students may say, I'd rather not do that commitment. Because I'd rather be involved in other commitments or make myself have other commitments.
And that's your choice.
And that's your choice, you're right.
Right.
I mean, so I guess the rest of my questions are, talk to be safe, the one with the regular byline, the next resolution we're going to be discussing. So that's just
good. Even Basil.
Yeah, I mean, Basil and I just briefly talked about this, and I come down on both sides of the issue the more I think about it. The reason that I'm opposed, as you all know, to all of the majority of the changes for Appendix A is because I think that our first and foremost commitment to the students is to run a transparent and accountable bilateral funding process where I think that all parties should have every opportunity to question what we do and to give us their input. So from that sense, I think that maximizing student input on the Appropriations Committee is vitally important. That said, on the other hand, the issue, I also think that there's something to be said for giving SA members, as many of them as possible, an opportunity to look at every budget packet twice, and that maybe you'll pick up things the second time that you didn't the first time. So again, I'm really not sure where I come down on this issue, because I think that there are things both to gain and to lose by increasing the number of SA members on the committee and decreasing the number of community members. I mean, I remember last year that on the committee, there really were a lot of people from a broad range of different organizations on campus who had a lot of different issues. And, you know, the thing about Byline funding is that we fund a lot of the student activity issues that occur on campus aside from Greek life, basically everything. So really to have input, I mean, you know, and student assembly members are selected from all their constituencies to try to get a broad diversity of interests and experiences. However, we obviously still, you know, come from a small segment, 23 of us, can't possibly represent, you know, the vast majority of campus. So I think that ultimately I'm going to come down against this resolution, or I would ask someone to propose an amendment to decrease maybe meet middle ground between 10 and 6. So that's what she thinks.
D.P. Miller.
So as a member of the Appropriations Committee myself this year, and having gone to previous Appropriations Committees in the past, one of the things that's better about a committee than coming to the Assembly, which would never be denied, you know, if we change the right to appeal to the Assembly, is that the committee meetings are less formal. You know, we have to abide by all the formalities here, you know, time limits and such and such. Whereas in a committee, you can ask more thorough questions. It can be more of a, you know, in-depth process without it being hindered by all the formality we face here. And again, at the end of the day, if students don't like the decision that the committee made, they can always appeal to the SA. They can always contact a member of the SA and say, hey, I don't think this is right. You know, can you move to disapprove this? So I think this does streamline the process. You know, it allows... It gives the burden on the assembly members who were elected to go to this committee and do a more thorough job of researching before they come to the assembly, so that the questions they would have been asking at an assembly meeting can be answered in an appropriations committee meeting. And if there's still a problem, there's nothing that says you still can't ask the assembly to overturn the decision.
Representative Salem.
I'm going to go ahead and make an amendment. Representative Kumar suggested before, I would like to change the number from 10 voting members of the SA to 8, and from 5 undergraduates to 7. So SA still has a majority, yet there's an increase of undergraduate at large.
Second.
All right, there's been a second. So there's the motion, the amendment is to change 10 to 8 voting members of the SA, and then 5 to 7 undergraduates at large for the committee to be selected by the staffing committee. Do you find that friendly? Are you clear on what the amendment is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, wait. No problem.
I'm going to say no, but I'd like to hear some discussion around the numbers.
Okay.
Just so I get that.
Okay, so there's dissent. So now I'm opening up a new speakers list just on the amendment. Representative Craig.
I think that's a good idea. I think it takes both arguments into use of that. The one of the main things you're saying is that we want to have to take voices on that committee. Since we're still the majority, I mean, technically speaking, SA members can unite and do whatever vote. We still have the main amount of votes on the committee, so I think we still an SA committee to stay. And then also function as an increasing number of undergraduates on it. I think it's a good middle ground. I'm actually okay with this now, so I would support it.
Thanks, VP Miller.
So, Asa, I was interested in that point you said about the SA uniting to do its common whatever, you know, prerogative. But look at how much we bicker now over little things. I mean, it's not like the SA has one solid agenda. We do get together on occasion and, you know, do things with the majority, and that's great. But we have healthy discussion in our meetings right now. I don't think that if you took 10 SA members randomly, even from our, you know, body, they would not have a unified opinion, most likely. There would be healthy discussion and debate, and I think if you have 10 SA members here, they're not going to try to pigeonhole the process, if you will. They would still engage in, you know, a spirited debate and discussion about each person's budget. I don't think that you'd have to worry about 10 SA members coming to agreement in a meeting, right, and trying to push their will through.
Representative Yao.
I found this amendment friendly because I think that represents a balance between the student body and the SA members. And I'm just wondering the reason why you want to go ahead to the SA.
I want to hear more discussion on the rationale behind those decisions.
Representative, anyone that wants to speak on the Representative Geica. I have you on the second.
I understand you want to hear more discussion, but does these numbers, would they at all accomplish what your goal of this resolution is, or do they kind of, like, people that are against it use the compromise and it still doesn't do your goal, so it kind of does no one any good? Or do you think that these numbers, less than what you had originally wanted in this amendment, do they do, like, any good to what you wanted? Does it accomplish your goal at all, or does it kind of make us, people that are against it, a little bit more comfortable with it, but it doesn't accomplish your goal, so it's like a silly middle ground where it doesn't benefit either side.
Okay, go.
I think any increase in the current number of assembly members is a good thing. I think the more we can have, the better. So, I mean, there's no real direct clear answer to your question.
Okay, there's no one else on the speaker's list, so
call the question.
I'm calling the question right now. I'm just going to do a hand vote because it's an amendment. All in favor?
Yes, 2/3.
Yeah, we need 2/3 because there is an amendment. This is an amendment with dissent. All in favor of this amendment? Again, it is moving SA members on this appropriations committee from 10 to 8. Well, of the proposed resolution, 10 to 8, and then undergraduates at large from 5 to 7. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Hi. Stein, is your hand up?
Yeah, it is. Sorry.
All opposed? Abstentions? It's 13, we need 14, so I'm going to break the tie. The amendment passes 14-4-2-2. Okay, now we're going back to discussing the resolution at large. There's no one on the speaker's list. Representative Stein.
Motion to table until next week. I think that everyone could do with some time to think about this resolution, go back to their constituents, and really...
I'm going to ignore that motion. Representative Kumar? I'm going to call a question. Is there a second?
Second.
Any dissent? All right. Will the clerk please call the roll? Again, just to clarify, where the amendment did pass, so it's 8 voting members of the SA and 7 undergraduates at large. Will the clerk please call the roll? Excuse me. You have 2 minutes for any closing remarks, if you'd like to take it. Thank you.
Yes. Set that.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Yep. 71-2. No abstentions. Passes. All right, moving on to unfinished business, Resolution 24, Appendix A changes by VP Mezzi.
All right, so you have three different sheets. The first one is a process assignment timeline. The second one is actually looks like this. This is a strictly the proposed change. So this is absolutely this is what Appendix A would look like. This Appendix A is with the deletion and strike through and additions and underline. I did this for the media for me to read on the dynamics of the news, so that's going to be nice as well. But if you'd like to look at how to move and all that, you can look at the other ones. we have discussed several changes to section 3, parts A, B, and C. There's some significant changes too, so if you turn to those sections, you will be able to see some changes. The page number was changed. I think somebody had an issue with that, but we had changed to 10. Some of the other language changed, especially in G. Let's just walk through D, which is the appropriations process. I'll just read it so that it's pretty clear. Within 1 week after the deadline for the final application, which you can refer to on your product portfolio diagram, which is September 11th, the Friday after the classes. Appropriations Committee shall proceed to review the application, read the applicant, deems to be eligible, for which eligibility criteria are raised by the member of the individual for arranged hearing, and the applicant may address questions of the committee and decide whether to fund the applicant in any amount, and if they decide to fund the applicant, adopt the application about per student per year, no less than 50 cents and no more than 50 questions. At each meeting and disseminating preceding such a meeting to the meeting for the committee of the committee's vice president of finance will report the date and time location of the meeting as well as the names of the applicants the committee intends to review. At each meeting and disseminating immediately following such a meeting of the committee, the vice president of finance will provide a written executive summary not to exceed 1 page of the applicant, including the name of the applicant, name of the committee members present, name of the applicant, representative present, amount requested by applicant, amount of allocation recommended by the committee, rationale explaining the committee's recommendation, and a brief response from the applicant, including any request for submission to review the committee's recommendation. The vice president of finance shall also file the minutes of the committee meeting for possible assembly. The committee will submit a final recommendation, including individual allocations to the assembly in the form of legislative resolution and you can also refer to that timeline of that process on your timeline process chart. That part has changed. Also, all of the application material will be made available online. That any pages containing confidential information is in section 3A5. Mark confidential information was explicitly stamped confidential. That would be for speaker honorarium, performing arts fees, anything like that, and based on the nature of the expenditure, these are remain confidential. Also, a change to the back, if you go to freedom of information, that's part, that portion has altered slightly. There's a part about closed sessions to discuss confidential material. Section 5B. Members of the Assembly and Appropriations Committee must sign a confidentiality statement to the Office of Assembly before they are seated in the fall semester of the 7 years. That is so that we ensure strict confidentiality of any confidential material that we discuss. Other than the other obvious changes, that was it's a more clear process than most of the last year.
All set?
Sure.
All right. Speakers list is now open. This is now discussion and debate, so questions and anything is all game. Did I mention the speakers list is open? There's no on the speaker list, I'm going to call to...
no, I'll speak.
All right, BP Basil.
Dilly Dally.
Cool. Thanks. All right, nobody knows who I am now. I guess basically, I think that everything I think everything, all the changes in this document through B are basically good changes. I think that everything that we've been talking about allowing groups more time to review all of their final numbers from, you know, the current year, so they have a much more informed allocation recommendation. Those are all good changes, especially, you know, allowing the petitioning period in the fall, everything like that. I think that all the changes after Part B, Parts C and D that involve the actual filing funding process, or excuse me, I guess just Part C, because it's been struck. Yeah, I think that I have a lot of problems with the way this is written, basically because I understand the argument for efficiency. You know, we do want to, you know, be making sure that what we do as an assembly is legislating, not just allocating. But I think that with the efficiency that we're talking about here, we give up too much. The cost is too high. I think that if I went back and looked, I guess, over the weekend at the essays business from the fall of 2007, I guess, and the assembly still passed, I think, 10 resolutions during the fall of 2007. So, and, you know, if you look at right now, we're on resolution 27, so that's not too shabby. I think that, you know, business still happened. I mean, everyone, you know, I'm looking around who was on the assembly last year, can attest to the fact that when we needed to get things done and we fit them in, I think we met a couple times till like 8:30, or, you know, we were meeting long hours. I know I missed Fiji Thanksgiving because we were meeting, but we did what it took, and we allocated, and I think that, you know, everyone in the assembly knows that, you know, we all did a great job last year. But I think that we're really giving up a lot by basically presenting changes as sort of recommendations from the Appropriations Committee, instead of really reviewing them as an assembly in an open forum like this is here, instead of sort of, you know, even though the Appropriations Committee is open, it's a much less transparent process. And I think that having it here where it's, there's a transcript, you know, microphoned, and, you know, minutes, and the public is, you know, can come in and listen on a Thursday afternoon, I think that that's invaluable. So, I guess I need to think about whether or not I want to make an amendment at this time, so I'll invite other people to speak on the issue. I'd like to hear what other people have to say as well. Yeah.
The one thing about transparency, I think there are things that have been put in here to make the process more transparent than it has been in the past, with a full report of the committee's action, not just a verbal report, but a written document that will be entered into the minutes of each assembly meeting, minutes that should be taken, it will be my recommendation to the Vice President of Finance next year that a con clerk to take into this appropriations committee. We didn't want to stipulate that in Appendix C, but thought that, you know, to have someone there to have this reporting, because we don't have minutes from last year. If that process, you know, was so great, we don't have those. So I think this is trying to make the changes to make it more transparent. Appropriations committee last year were most of the time held in a closed session. This one is spaces explicitly open, unless otherwise deemed the confidential information needed to be discussed, that would be the only time we would go into a closed session. So I think it is a transparent process. I do think it's a little bit.
30 seconds.
So that's my
VP Miller.
Yeah, thanks. So as much as I appreciate the work the Assembly has done in the past, some might not agree with Chris's statement that we're all proud of what the Assembly was able to do last year. Some might say that they could have done better. It's possible. Now, I think Greg addressed the main point of concern that a lot of us have. We can change the system so that next year the people know more about the meetings, that they are open, so that a group can go there and you can have people come in. You know, people are welcome to the meetings until it goes into an executive session called by the chairman. So we are shifting the burden on the Appropriations Committee, which is why we have a standing Appropriations Committee anyway, for them to do the nitty-gritty work, for them to ask all the questions thoroughly, very thoroughly. And I think we need to change the culture so that we have more of a focus on those Appropriations Committee, more people going with us. We just passed the last amendment. We have more, you know, SA members going there now. This does streamline the process. It makes it a better process. The old process was good, but it wasn't as good as this process is going to be, I feel. This will allow the Assembly to take on more work. Next year is going to be a very challenging year. Next year we're going to have to face a lot more challenges with the financial situation. I mean, I can see that being quite contentious next semester.
Minute.
And I think the Assembly will need to devote more of its time to doing work on the Thursday meeting. And this puts more of a burden on the VP finance and more of a burden on the SA members, but I think if you run for the office, you should expect to know what's required of you when you take your seat.
Representative Salem.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything that the VP was saying. I actually think that the way it was in the past puts more burden on the Assembly because they have to re-listen to every member has to listen to every allocation. And like he said, the meetings went sometimes to 8:30, and like you said before, that type of dedication is expected from the time government job. It really should be quite good here, Thanksgiving and things like that. I feel that people just appreciate the opportunity to be heard. Representative Craig and I were telling them they really enjoy the opportunity to come here and know that their voices are heard and that their opinions are taken into consideration by
what? You can always respond.
I think it's important to know the key word that is the transparency, just like the good word is heard. I think it puts an incredible burden on the Assembly to have to take up legislative time when there is a primary majority of that member represented on the committee. And the Assembly, at any time, when they want to take on more of that burden, make a motion to overturn the decision of the Board of Education. And if you also look in Section 4C, 4, a brief response from the including any request from the Assembly to review the committee's recommendation. So if you're seeing tonight and the Appropriations Committee says, okay, you're getting $5, and you say, hey, that's great, I love this, and it's a great allocation, and we're very happy, they took that response in and that's reported to the Assembly. Any reason to hear it then? I don't think so. If they say, hey, we're really not happy with this $5, we asked for 15, and we got money cut by that much money, we would like the SA reviewed. After reading that report, you as an Assembly member can say, I'd like the motion to overturn the initial decision of the Appropriations Committee based on the information provided by that group. And then at the following meeting, that group comes in and they can present their case and hear it. And I think that is an efficient way and still addresses your main concern with allowing students to have their voices heard. I think that that's something that, this is not necessarily a government document. You can say, legislative finance is failing to do your duty. This is something that will govern that process and ensure that that process happens. That's why we're putting this into our charter.
Yeah. So
30 seconds.
Last time we found out the public, most of the discussion that took place was when people wanted to overturn the appropriations decision. Everyone's fine with it. It literally took like a minute. It's right. 10 seconds. Yeah. One advance, thank you, ma'am. And you come in, and it's only like the dissonance, the disagreement.
Were the disagreements though from Assembly members to Assembly members, or was the disagreement from the group disagreeing with the decision of appropriations? I think that's an issue you need to look at as well.
Cool. Representative Craig.
I don't know if that's some of the things that VP Daisel as well as Representative Salem talked about. I think this is something that I guess we had talked about a little bit after the meeting, even before the meeting, we got the potential email. Going back to last year, I think, again, I'm going to try to be brief because I have to really echo everything, that I really appreciated having the opportunity to listen to all the groups. And again, if there was not an issue, it was very quick. It was, okay, we have nothing to say to this. This is fine. Thank you. It was literally that quick. And I really think that the groups had the opportunity, they really appreciate having the opportunity to hear other voices that were not on the committee. Certainly there are going to be eight voices of student assembly members that are going to be on the committee. But look at all of us around here. It also keeps us, again, more accountable. We talk about burden, say that's a dark word, but burden is, it's necessarily good thing. We talk about how you said you signed up for this job earlier.
1 minute.
You have a solution. You should accept the burden and go to all the committees and do everything like that. This is something that is the most important thing that we do in terms of lab and funding. I think all of the voices, not just the eight students that go to the committee, to be helpful to analyze the bottom funding issue. And I just worry that if it's just a resolution that comes to us and is presented by, say, the VP finance, not many people, yes, I know everyone can say, but we need to go and meet it beforehand to prepare all of our thoughts. Not many people always do that. That's just the reality we have to get to. And the other thing is a lot of individuals will say, okay, this is what we're presented with. We're not going to ask a lot of questions. But one thing that I knew going through the process last year is that we had that opportunity to hear those questions. And we were forced to sit and listen and to hear the discussion and the debate and the presentation. So I'm really worried about losing this, and I think a lot of our student groups will, as a PT day will represent the talent as well, will miss this. So I think it's something we need to think about.
You can respond for 2 minutes.
I think the interesting part is, you say that students enjoy that. Of the majority of final groups that I had the pleasure of meeting last semester talking about the process and looking towards streamlining it, I don't think everyone thought it was an enjoyable process. Been talking to the handful of advisors that I have who like the idea of some more clearly defined guidelines for the student activity fee allocation process. I think they're supportive of those changes. So that's just one concern I have with saying that as student organizations and students enjoy the process. The second part, I can't remember, so
VP Junowitz.
I agree with what Representative Craig and VP Basil also said. I just think that this process is far too important to not be thorough. And that's why my concern is just very similar. I'd like to yield the rest of my time to VP Basil.
Thanks. I guess first, I wouldn't say the groups enjoy, maybe that's not the right verb, coming to speak with us, but I think that they appreciate the opportunity, pulling teeth up here. I think that, you know, what we're talking about is the fact that, if you think about it, we're very involved with student assembly. All these groups, especially the leaders of all these bilingual organizations, are so vested in the work that they do, which is something that makes them so effective, and such a good presence on campus. So I think that, you know, to take away the enforced right for them to come speak with us and make sure that they have the funding that they need, I think that the unintended consequences of that are far worse than maybe the, you know, pain that we would save them by not making them come, you know, spend 15 minutes in front of us. I mean, I don't think that anyone would enjoy spending, you know, dozens of hours working on a budget and pouring over all the finances for an organization, but, you know, I think that that's a necessary process and it's something that they would all appreciate. I think that... Someone extend?
30 seconds.
I think that basically what I'd like to do from here is I think that, as I said before, all the changes through Part B are very positive, and all the changes in Part C are very positive because, you know, as all the assembly members who were on last year will recognize, it wasn't a perfect system. It wasn't as transparent as it could be, and it could be a lot better. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to table the resolution so that we can work on basically merging VP Mezzi's fantastic changes to Appendix A with what we had last year to some sort of consensus agreement where we can preserve the format that we had as well as add another level of credibility and transparency to the process.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm actually going to ignore that tabling. That's why things are introduced in new business, and then we have a week to, you know, regroup with everyone. So I'm going to continue discussion on this, and the speakers list is open for one. No, you after new points, yes. Wait, what do you have? Point of information? Yes.
Would it be possible to list the question, so vote on the appendix by section, as opposed to, like, the document in its entirety?
By Roman numeral section?
Or by letters.
By letters. We're disagreeing with different parts of it.
Hold on a second. Yeah, that's fine.
Would that be an individual vote on each letter of each section?
Yes, so, but... I interpret it. That's what he meant, yeah.
But, that's cool.
Yeah. I'm going to it's still a document. We're going to vote on the document. Just propose amendments how you would with any other document. And then obviously if there's dissent, which I forecast there'll be, then it will just go to a discussion of that amendment and then a vote for each amendment, which is almost essentially the same thing. So this is still a resolution for Appendix A. The speakers list is now open. There's no one on it. I'll go to the second speakers list for right now. If anyone hasn't spoken yet, here's a chance. If you want to get on it. Okay. VP Miller's on the second speakers list.
So again, I can't help but notice that the people who are primarily objective, objectivists are the people who have served on the assembly, and of course I take their criticism, they've experienced it, but they also have a bit of an attachment to it. I mean, well, cognitive dissonance, I just learned that, no B. They're attached to what was the past. We have a better system here. Greg worked very hard to develop a good system. It would require a change in the way we do things, definitely, but it would be a positive change. Groups would, nothing prevents SA members or anybody from going to committee meetings of the Appropriations Committee next semester if we pass it. Nothing would stop that at all because they're explicitly open. So if you do have concerns, you're more than welcome to go there. And again, if a group felt that something was wrong, they would come to us. And I guess I'm a little more optimistic than Representative Craig when he says that people are just going to, peruse this with a cursory glance. Like, not with byline funding. With the minutes, yeah, I don't ever read them myself, quite frankly. But with a byline funding, I think everybody in this room takes that incredibly serious. And I pretty much guarantee that 22 people sitting here next semester will take it very seriously. And when we do transition, they will know to take it incredibly seriously. This is a better process. It allows a more thorough examination in the Appropriations Committee. And then it allows us to do better, more efficient work on the same meeting here.
Representative Stein.
I have to just say, I take offense to that. This is not a situation where there is cognitive dissonance, so I'm glad you're learning so much in ILROJ 122.
This is a case of
people having gone through a process, seen that while, yes, that process does have some flaws, if you're willing to put the time in, then it's worth it. And I happen to agree with a lot of parts of these changes. However, I do think that review and having the entire assembly come together is important. Not because I'm tied to the past, and I don't think it's that other people are tied to the past either. I think this is a matter of, it might sound like it's really going to be, a pain in the butt to stay until 8:30 some nights, or, more regularly end SA meetings after 6:30 than, ending them on time or ending them before. But the fact of the matter is, if you truly care about this and you think it's important and you're passionate and you really want to serve on the assembly, then it's what you'll do. If you want to leave at 6:30, then I guess you'll leave at 6:30 because the fact of the matter is, you're allowed to leave that early, so it's not a problem. But I yield the rest of my time to Representative Craig.
I just want to, bring a specific case that I remember specifically. I believe it was MGLC or Marijuana last year. And I guess if I remember correctly, the Appropriations Committee voted to lower their amount. And they were going to be really constrained by the number that they were given, not how to do the 10 programs or drawn, ludicrous or whatever happened, basically. But if they had been in that little line of being just, accepted that we would not have had the opportunity to really hear from them specifically. They brought a lot of individuals here to the meeting. It was packed, I remember specifically, and we had a lot of constructive debate around the committee, and all of the committee members were able to talk about how Alana or MGLC has affected them. I have given my point of view about how the program really has affected me, and that's something that I think we're limiting as eight members certainly take on. Another commitment that I can go to all these meetings. But for those individuals that were not able to, they're still allowed to get their
attendance.
So I think that's something important for us to remember. It's a specific case, and a lot got their money, and GLC got their money, and I know that they appreciated it, and they talked to me about it afterwards.
Representative Cusick. After.
Okay, so this is just a question. If we go back to the old byline funding process, is there really any practical purpose of the Appropriations Committee, or is it just basically doing a state of being split?
There is the old byline funding process that members of the Assembly are referring to is not actually a process.
Okay.
It was something that was adopted, called a bastardization, if you will, of a process. The process as written dictates something much more closely related to the changes I proposed. The thing with my changes is wording gets a little bit more clear picture of what actually happened. What the Assembly of Cash should have done based on the governing documents that govern the Assembly is something much similar to the system. What was done in the past is not correct, not in line with the Assembly's chart.
So if we don't pass this, will we be going back to the rule you were referring to or the old back to the reason why?
I think you should have the document to govern the Assembly, govern the Assembly, and not what people's status is made of.
Ari.
So I just wanted to clear up a few things. It sounded like there was some lack of clarity about a few of the details. First of all, the process that exists right now and the process that this proposal, like Rick said, are very similar. And in both cases, it doesn't transfer power to the Appropriations Committee, it delegates. And that's an important distinction because the decision is still the SA, and in both of these processes, there's a benefit that the SA will have at least a month when it can actually debate the entire thing in an open piece of legislation and amend it by a regular majority, which is more flexible in a lot of ways for the SA than the process that was followed last year, which I think it involved larger votes than a majority to change the ratings of these decisions. The second thing was I saw an important change around the confidentiality that I think might have touched on it, but I don't know if it was appreciated. It changes the criteria for open. It basically says that the Appropriations Committee will meet in an open session otherwise required by emergency policy or law. That's a much more explicit openness than what has been practiced in the past. The Appropriations Committee past times has met in closed sessions, and sometimes last time it included minutes. And I think part of the reason that there was a lot of controversy around a lot of the decisions that came to the SA from the Appropriations Committee a year ago wasn't even necessarily that they were that controversial. It was just that nobody could see the process by which they were come to. What this envisions is that a subset of SA members, assisted by some community members appointed by the SA, will be spending more time scrutinizing, and then they will provide a useful summary to the SA of what they found. But the SA is still driving. The SA is still approving the final resolution. The SA can still change it any which way it wants.
30 seconds.
And the committee is now given a very high standard of reporting responsibility. So I think, you know, it's important to understand the transparency it's allowing and the fact that it's delegating the first process.
Thank you. Representative Hines.
Yes. Basically, yes, we're not getting rid of any power in the Assembly, we're just delegating responsibility to the subcommittee, which is what the Assembly should do. It would be very efficient if we discussed everything that was discussed in committee here at the Assembly. So I think this is a good job of wrapping this up, and I will call the question.
I'm going to call the question. There's consent. I think you'll know the dissent. At this point, we're going to vote.
Propose an amendment.
Right, that's why I'm just having it. But we still have to. We now have to vote to vote. So all in favor of voting, we need a two-thirds majority to go ahead to a vote. All in favor of voting, please raise your hand.
Yeah.
All opposed? All right, voted 6 to 12, abstentions. Voted 6 to 12 to 0, the call to question fails. Moving on, VP Basil.
You move to the opposing
amendment?
All right,
let's yield my time to Representative Baca.
I don't have the wording 1,000% together, but my amendment would be under Article. It doesn't work. Hello. My amendment would be under where we're talking.
On.
Procedure C. Under C.
No. It wasn't on.
So after four, to change one in five to six to one in six to seven, and to add in a five, that
Pete's sake.
That would allow for that. disagreed with the rationale, instead of only including, if the group agreed with your rationale, they would just submit their brief statement and you would present that, or the information committee would present that, and if the group disagreed and had a negative brief statement, they could come before the essay. So then it was a streamlined process, as you said, and groups that were happy and were allocated correctly wouldn't have to come with their time and whatnot, and groups that were unhappy could still come and have the procedure that other representatives have still been talking about. So people like that all work on versions.
All right, so that's not an official amendment yet because it was not an official motion. Can you shut that off for a second? I'll let you respond. Hopefully, you got all that. I'll let you respond, and then I'll continue in the speaker's list.
So I hear you correctly, regardless of what number you want to what, so a brief response from the applicant, it was pretty much saying a brief response from the applicant would be included if the applicant was in agreement with the decision of the appropriations committee, and if they were in disagreement, then they could come at the following
application.
Something to that effect, but they would include a brief response either way if they were happy or unhappy, so you'd have like in writing like the quick what they thought, and then since number 4 is just what you're reporting, to add in a 5 right under that and bump the other 2 numbers down, that would say like the organization has the opportunity to come present their case if they disagree.
Okay, so it was still be a brief response, including any requests.
Yeah, that would say the same.
But that would be the same, so then you would add one more saying...
I'm not positive, but...
They wanted to show up and complain when...
Only if they dissented. If they agreed, it would be a waste of time. But if they dissented, they could come their case. I'm not exactly sure if that was in your black process the way that they liked it, so maybe they had a better input on that.
What's your response? All right, I'm going to move on to the speaker list, but if you can have the formal amendment ready, so then we can go to the motion.
Sorry.
Okay, thanks. Representative Dietow, but we'll come back to you.
Yes, please.
Representative Salem.
Yes, I think that's a really good idea, except for the fact that there are instances that have occurred when, you know, both the Appropriations Committee and the group might agree, but then one of us might disagree with it. And then if we had, you know, an objection to raise, they wouldn't be here because all we would have is a piece of paper from them. Yes.
We'll try.
Is that a question?
Yes.
Yeah. In your eyes, the way that it's spelled out, it looks to me, as coming from the left, that if a member of the assembly were to disapprove the action of the committee, that at the following meeting, that's when that action would be heard and request would be given to that group to show up at the next meeting to discuss that thing. So it's not in the same week, but it would allow them to further meet from that meeting.
Well, when someone motions to disapprove an action of a committee, it's brought up there. Then technically, then someone would have to table that until next week. So no, I mean, reading it, if you motion to disapprove, that's motion during that meeting, and that's when you discuss. So it doesn't automatically will have them there, you know, for like another hearing. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, but they're not automatically there. I guess that's the thing. But yeah, of course. Unless you can read it as, you know, your motion is approved, so everyone has to first, the motion to disapprove has to pass, and then maybe this can be put in here, and then the next meeting you do hear them. That seems like, it would, I think that's what you're getting at, but that's not, that perhaps should be more clear in here. You have a minute.
Yeah, so if we were to do that, if someone was to object and tell them to come, you know, next week, that's not necessarily streamlining the process. As opposed to, you know, them being here right now, everything hashed out, same time, and it's just done with, and we move on to the next.
Representative VP Junowitz.
Sorry, this whole last-minute amendment writing, this is kind of making me uncomfortable. I really think that we should table it to next week. This is just far too important.
Second. There's been a second on the motion. There is dissent. We're going to go right into a vote. We'll have to have a two-thirds majority to table this for next week. No, because there are multiple dissents, and I think we all know what is that.
Yeah.
So all in favor of tabling this till next week, please raise your hand. Hi. Show it like this. All opposed? Abstentions? How many? Sorry, just bear with me.
Maybe 19.
All right, bear with me. Hold on. Hold on. What's 2/3 of 19?
That's not quite 2/3. You could push it over.
2/3 of 19 is
12.
2/3 of 19. Okay. So, the motion fails. Moving on, we have Representative Smith. Here is dissent. Anything with dissent, you need 2/3.
Okay,
No, this is, there is no official amendment on the table.
Oh, okay.
You can talk about it if you'd like.
Okay. Well, I like the amendment just because I think that it...
Yep. The theoretical idea of the amendment that Emlyn was talking about.
Yeah. I like it already before she even said it. because I think being part of the Violent Funding Conference last year, I did feel like sometimes it was inefficient to go over it again when, and the fact that we couldn't go to meetings, I guess, made sense when that meant it's open. I think it makes a lot more sense to just have that conversation and disagreement. And, I mean, if you feel very strongly about it, go be in the meeting, be on the committee. So, I support the amendment that happened.
Representative Hines. What was that at the end? There was no motion or anything. Okay. Representative Craig. Is your hand up, Rami?
Yep. So I was just going to, I understand what you're saying, Representative Dietel. I understand that kind of makes sense. But one thing I'm wondering about is that if this is still, if they're still submitting anything, we're not removing anything from C, they're still going to be resubmitting a sheet. And, I mean, we're not necessarily going to be going line item by line item. And that's why I'm worried, like Julie said, about random last minute, that we're not making sure when it's time to check if there's not something up above. She lines up saying that, okay, because one thing is, if they're still submitting that sheet, then if we disapprove, we're disapproving of all of them. We're not necessarily working through the process like a lot of us are describing. So if there's a way that, again, I would urge for individuals that are kind of in favor of this amendment to that didn't necessarily motion the table to consider accepting the table, accepting the table so that we can really sit down and work out something a little bit better and ensure that there's no discrepancy from this item to that item. We can sit down and actually work with
30 seconds.
EP Medley and actually work on this out. So again, I encourage people, instead of us trying to fit this in at the last second, just accept the table and move on to other business. Streamline this for next week. We can present something else that is more interesting. So with that, again, I'm going to try a motion table as a right hand.
There's a motion table, there's a second, and there's a dissent. Take 30 seconds to explain your dissent.
Okay, if you guys really were that passionate about the change, if you wanted to do this, you would have done this last week. That's why we have a parliamentary procedure that says we do new business, we ask great questions, you guys ask a lot of great questions. If you had a week, you had 168 hours to put together a process that you thought was acceptable and then give it to us in paper form. You didn't do that. So what's there to stop you from getting to this point next week? And you're like, oh, we ran out of time again, we need more time. You can't keep doing this.
Hold on. Were we able to debate last week then?
No. A point of information, a question for me?
Point of information.
Well,
a lot of changes were incorporated in this document last week, so that's going to be a lot of members.
question.
Okay. Thank you for that point. There's a motion on the floor. What? 30 seconds to explain your dissent.
All right. I think the biggest thing is we all knew that the discussion was coming up. We're still passionate about these changes. Why haven't these changes been made? The other thing is, as assembly members, we've had roughly 21 meetings knowing that this process was coming up next year. Why haven't we taken legislative action earlier and made these changes? For those of you that served on the assembly in your
15 staff, seconds.
You've had an extra 15 weeks, so 36 total opportunities to make changes to this. Now you want to
talk
about for one more week. I think we should stop campaigning and start legislating.
All right, there's been a motion to table. There was a second. No, sorry. No more points. We're going to entertain this motion to table. All in favor of tabling, please raise your hand. Hi, please. All opposed. Motion passes with the same vote. I'm going to move on to the third speaker's list. What? I'm going to move on to the third speaker's list.
Fails.
Oh, what did I say? I meant a fail. Yeah, sorry.
I'm
going to move on to the third speaker's list unless there's anyone who wants to speak who hasn't spoken on the second. Like how you did. Okay, third speaker's list, Representative Salem.
So the main problem I have with this, I guess, is that it's giving students and assembly members an excuse not to to follow up with what's going on in the Appropriations Committee. It's giving them an excuse, you know, to just rush over the letter and not even look at it at all. As opposed to how it has been done in the past, where we right now, you know, I feel like there shouldn't be any way to get around listening to what the groups have to say, even if they were in agreement.
No. What? Representative Dykow.
I'd like to propose the amendment I was talking about.
Excellent.
So where it would be is where we've been talking about Section C. After number 4, it would become the new number 5, and number 5 would then become number 6. It would read something along the line, if the applicant requests for the assembly to review the committee's recommendation for any reason, they will be invited to present their dissent at the meeting where the VP of Finance is reporting their hearing summary.
One more time, a little slower. Please.
Good. If the applicant requests for the assembly to review the committee's recommendation for any reason, they will be invited to present their dissent at the meeting where the VP of Finance reports the summary of their hearing.
They will
be invited to present their dissent at the meeting where the VP of Finance reports their hearing summary, or their summary of their hearing.
Point of information.
Hold on, sorry. Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Would this require that the SA vote, or is this just saying that the group can dissent?
This is saying, and correct me if I'm wrong with how I'm reading it, that if at the end of, at the time when the Appropriations Committee gives their decision, if the right then and there, if the group wants to take the SA, it's automatic for them to bring it, for this to be on the SA's agenda and the hearing to happen at that Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And then the SA would have to vote to uphold what the Appropriations Committee
says. This is where technically no. It's still a committee's action. So all this is doing is automatically bringing the hearing to the SA on Thursday. If you're going to overturn the Appropriations decision, there still needs to be a 2/3. This is more just
point of
information.
Is it the nature of the petition that they're requested to be at the meeting so they can voice their dissent to the committee's recommendation, or is it that they would, I'm just a little unclear about the intention.
You're still voting, so both parties would again be given 2 to 5 minutes depending on what the chair wants. So, but the vote is actually on the decision of the Appropriations Committee. It, for those who were doing this last year, it would have been just like last year for those that request to go to the SA. So I'm going to reread it. There is a new C5, right?
Yes.
If the applicant requests for the student assembly to review the committee's recommendation for any reason, they will be invited to present their dissent at the meeting where the VP at the next meeting where the VP Finance reports the Appropriations Committee's decision.
My wording was kind of, I just took four and I tried to use similar language. So basically the last bullet point of four said any request to the Assembly to review the committee's recommendation. So if they have any requests for that, that's like the first part, then they can come in the beginning of four said where the VP Finance like provides the written summary. So it was, I was trying to use similar language,
right.
So it was, that
okay.
Thing was clear.
Point of information.
Would this be another budget hearing, or would it be there they have 2 to 5 minutes to express their dissent, and then the Assembly would have to take an action on the committee
The Assembly...
...to open it up to a further presentation?
The latter. The Assembly is voting on... When this comes up, 2 minutes for the VP Finance, 2 minutes for the group. Speaker's list is open. Questions, discussion, or debate. And then, once the call to question comes, you're voting on the decision of the Appropriations Committee. So, the motion is essentially, when you call in a question, the motion is to disprove the Appropriations Committee, which then you need 2/3. If that all fails, and it fails, the Appropriations Committee's decision stands. Yeah.
Can I have 30 seconds to
speak?
So basically all I want to be is I haven't been through byline funding because I wasn't here last year, but similar to what I saw FSC to be like last year, kind of what Ryan said, it'd basically be like you come or VP Finance comes and says like this was our rationale and the group can say this is what we thought and then we can debate and talk and decide. So it's similar to what I see those hearings as when we appealed, but I don't know if that's how it actually is. But that's
yes, yeah.
So, yeah.
But again, the important thing to know is the vote.
Right, yeah.
It's dissent.
Dissent. Any amendment?
There's dissent. Please take 30 seconds to explain your dissent.
I think that there's a lot of dissonance right now between the way Representative Diakow's amendment is written and what President Lavin is telling us he would like it to do.
Can you repeat that?
I think that there's a lot of dissonance between the idealistic process you're describing that this amendment would accomplish and the way it's actually written. I think it's a lot more vague in the way that it's written. I think that I'd like to see something that's much more strongly worded than that, that absolutely verbatim requires groups to attend the SA's allocation meeting so that they're present, which is why I and Representative Craig have repeatedly motioned to table so that we can really work and hash something out that's been great. I think that everyone's been wrong. We've only had less than 24 hours to look over this resolution. It was only emailed out late last night. So I really think the Assembly deserves more time to really hash this out.
There's speaker's list is now open on this amendment. Yes. There was already dissent to the amendment. Yes. Wait, hold on a second. Let me gather my thoughts. You're right. Thank you. Greg found it friendly. Really, can you please shut that phone up? Greg found it friendly. So I'm going to reread the amendment. If the applicant requests for the SA to review the committee's recommendation for any reason, they will be automatically invited to present their dissent at the next meeting where the VP Finance reports the Appropriations Committee's decision. The amendment is found friendly. Moving on to the speakers list for the Appendix A changes. Representative Smith.
I motion to table.
Second.
The motion to table is second. Is there any dissent? Just dissent. All in favor of tabling, please raise your hand high.
Sorry, yeah.
Hi, again. All opposed? Motion fails by the same vote. There's no one on the speaker's list.
You can sit over if you want.
Point of information. 12 to 6 to 0. Same one.
And you need 2/3.
Yes.
And 12 by 18.
We have 19.
19. He counts.
Moving on. Speaker's list now open. Representative Stalin. Nope, you're already on. You're already on the third speaker's list. Yes.
I'll go on.
Representative VP Basil.
I'd like to yield to Salem, please.
Representative Salem.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
There's been a motion to adjourn. Okay. Let's stop this game. I'm tabling this resolution, but I want to make a few points. This resolution and the majority of the changes in the content was introduced last week. So all those who wanted to change this should have had something prepared. Please. That has made this meeting inefficient. I would ask for next week, all those that want changes, have something prepared. I don't want to be spending the majority of this meeting on this. Again, we've already heard this for multiple hours. These are important changes. You have significant points of dissent. But, you know, come to meetings prepared if you want to change parts of a resolution that's on the table. This is now tabled. I'm ignoring the motion to adjourn. Moving on to new business, Resolution 27, survey of students involved in illegal file sharing by Representative Hines. You have 2 minutes. Okay, thanks, Mike. I want to thank you. This is an important issue that you've continued to stay on and address. So this new business, so questions only. Discussion and debate will be for next week. Also note you have a copy of the survey, right? You have a copy of the survey in front of you? Okay. Speaker, this is open. D.P. Miller.
I'm just curious, Mike. How many people, do you know how many people this survey would go out to approximately?
So right now, Holly says she has about 54 people.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Representative Brockman.
I was wondering if you think there is anyone getting any kind of policy, because I know it's widely reported in December that the RIA specifically got put into this.
Right. Nikhil also brought this to my attention. I read a few articles on it. The RIA has changed their strategy, and this is the RIA we're talking about. There also other agencies out there. The RIA has changed their strategy. They are looking for different ways to stop the file sharing, probably something against these letters. It's not mean that they're not going to be these letters. It just means that they're going to be coming back. And given still have some information is useful, but there are other agencies out there. There are people who still want to get these letters. Maybe not as much value, but I think the problem is still out there. And this can only help not hurt. So I still think it's necessary.
Representative Kumar.
So is this like an intro circuit or by panel? So Polly would like to send it out via email. I still want to ask her some questions on that. And I will tell you next week exactly how she probably write it.
I had a quick question. So this is getting sent to anyone who received. It's not a subpoena. What is it? What is it? Pre-settlement letter? Thank you. So this is going to anyone who's received a pre-settlement letter.
Right.
And so it's going to be administered by, I guess, the VPCIT's office. Like, she'll... Okay. Great.
And I included... There's also going to be a cover letter attached to it by Polly, whoever sent it out, saying that people's
private information... Okay. Actually, can that be... Because essentially we're... Because the university cannot give the legal advice that we want to try to be able to compile and give, can that letter be either from you or the student assembly? Maybe you can talk to her about that. Basically, because essentially, I mean, they're helping us administer it, their administrative office.
But also included in the survey, I said that all their personal information can be protected. She also wishes to add her own cover letter.
Okay, but we'll have our own as well.
Well, it says right at the beginning that nobody can see a person who's making a different person.
Oh, I see. Okay, great. Yeah, anyone else? Not. Yes, Representative Diacon.
I'm a little bit curious that after we have all this compiled, and I know we don't want to be legal consultants, but is there any concern at all that the survey is about people actually doing something illegal? So do we, like, we want to make sure we're not seen as, like, aiding any crime, kind of.
Right.
Which I know is a very outlandish, silly thing to say, but it's just like...
That's a good point. The reason that this has come about is because the RIAA, in some communications, often tries to take advantage of the situation.
Right.
And they've been criticized in a lot of cases, at a lot of schools.
No. I like it, and I'm glad we're moving forward on it and everything. I just want to, like, have that out there. Just...
Can I offer an answer to that, even though it would be out of program?
Well, I'll put you on the speaker's list. Representative Craig.
I just have a question. So for students, is there any way that they affect the legal child that comes in the future if they get a final kind of official survey and admitted use or something like that? I'm just saying, are we worried that this can affect the way that they may actually be going on record or something of that nature?
I don't think this is going to have any legal significance. Just simply from the percentage of data, you know, opinions of the assembly or university or anything that we can play here. So we're simply giving a survey.
I can also add, Polly had said, like, no, they wouldn't be doing this. They wouldn't be helping us doing this if that was the case. When people respond, it's not going to be linked to their name or identity at all. There's no in way, you know.
Super example.
Yeah. Purdy.
Just to respond to that, when we wrote the questions, we were very careful to say, you know, on the paper alleging what you did. It wasn't, like, on the paper. Like, the questions... Answering the questions, honestly, does not admit guilt. Exactly. So.
Representative Stein.
That was my point. You're not asking if anyone did something illegal. You're just talking to people who got a letter, so there's no legal problem.
Okay. Speaker's list is exhausted. Thank you very much, Representative Hines. We'll be business of unfinished business next week. We've also exhausted our agenda. This meeting is adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.